Although I had no illusions that any of you might remember what that name was, even I had to go back and remind myself the subject of that message. When I look back, I found it to be surprisingly relevant as a follow-up to what I want to speak with you today. But I'm getting ahead of myself. This week, after I was with you, or the week I was with you, 52 weeks ago, Hurricane Helene arrived. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary. Bill and I had only been home a couple of days as we watched, along with the rest of the country, the news of destruction and death. Losses pictured in areas that we have come to know very well over the years. We saw videos of the washed out roads that we had traveled frequently between here and I-81. Primarily our concern was the safety of our family members and friends who were stranded. Our emotion was profoundly personal, but then followed by prayers of thanksgiving when hearing of their safety. Those stories of devastation over the initial days were hard, but then the narrative slowly turned toward stories of the heroic efforts of the first responders, of the community supporting one another, of Osceola providing accommodations and meals for those in need, and the extraordinary generosity of outreach from the local faith communities, including All Saints. So here we are today on the one-year anniversary of what, for some, was, if not a life-changing event, certainly a memorable one, physically, emotionally, and maybe even spiritually. But do we let this anniversary only be one in which we look back before we return to our routine lives? I think not. Rather, I think there are relevant spiritual and life lessons to be learned from that event, even today. In my sermon last year, the week before the hurricane, I spoke about the value of being reminded of our own mortality and how it can impact our way of being in the world. How an awareness of our mortality holds the potential to influence our day-to-day decisions, to live more deeply, which then leads to finding gratitude in the tiny moments. And that sense of gratitude benefits us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That was my concluding theme 53 weeks ago, the intersection of mortality and gratitude. And that is where I want to begin today, to enlarge that perspective with what I call this year the sacrament of our mortality, a point of view that can be incorporated in the story of the hurricane, even a year later. Our society is uncomfortable speaking about the whole subject of death and dying. I get that. Me too. So don't think that's what this sermon is all about. But what I do think can be of value is being reminded that a natural and inevitable part of being human is being mortal. On some level, to accept the awareness that we are on this earth for a finite period of time, to absorb that concept in our inner being, holds the possibility for us to make more intentional choices for how we choose to live that finite time, how we choose to live. Bottom line, I think that being reminded of our mortality as a gift, and let me emphasize we remember the victims of these tragedies, I'm respectfully aware that I, nor you, can bring them back. But you and I can honor their lives by living our lives more intentionally, so that in some small way, we can say they made a difference to us. I'm reminded of the title of a wonderful poem by Dawana Markova, which succinctly summarizes this outlook when she says, and I quote, "I shall not die an unlived life. I shall not die an unlived life." It almost sounds like a personal motto. Even a portion of the reading from 1 Timothy this morning references this perspective when he says, "For we brought nothing into this world, so we can take nothing out of it. Lord Jesus Christ, it is He alone who has immortality." I want to end with a beautiful reflection that mirrors how to put into practice what I call the sacred gift of mortality. And I dedicate it to the victims of the hurricane. And the author is unknown. We always think we have time. We put things off. We wait. We tell ourselves, I'll do it later, like life is on pause. But deep down, we know it's not. Time does not stop when we're tired. It does not slow down just because we are not ready. It keeps moving quietly, silently, without warning. And the truth is, none of us really knows how much time we've got. Not in years, not in days, not even in moments. We might still have 100 sunsets to enjoy, maybe just one more. We might get one more chance to say, "I'm sorry," or "I'll miss you," or "I love you." Or maybe that chance is already passed. But we keep living like we are guaranteed tomorrow. Like there will always be another call, another visit, another hug. We make plans for someday. We wait for the right time. We say, "Not now," without thinking twice. But what if now is all we get? What if this moment, this ordinary quiet moment, is the one that matters the most? The one where you pause and reach out. The one where you let yourself feel something instead of brushing it off. The one where you show up fully with your whole heart. Isn't that to scare you? No, it's just a reminder. Because life is made of small moments. Not milestones, not years. And the stuff you'll miss most one day is happening now. So don't sleepwalk through it. Don't wait for the perfect timing. Don't hold back what you really feel. Say the words. Make the call. Give the hug. Take the chance. You're here. You're breathing. You're alive. That's enough. Secret of